and it's faith in that name. Peter realized one fundamental truth, and I pray it's something we'll realize as a church, that God had given the church a weapon, and it's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was something that carried power. Peter was obsessed with this name. He took the name. He used the name. We need to be obsessed with the name of Jesus Christ. We need to speak it more. We need to talk it more. We need to approach life in the name of Jesus. We need to approach sickness in the name of Jesus. We need to approach difficult situations in the name of Jesus. We need to approach financial hindrance in the name of Jesus. We need to start saying the name. Most of us, one of the things that has scared me about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a lot of times we start calling God anything but Jesus. We talk about God a lot. Or we talked about the Lord a lot. Or we talk about when the early church used the name of Jesus. They did everything in His name. And I'm not wanting us to do it just to do it. I want them to understand. They understood something that caused them to start using it. And I want us to understand the same thing. The church in Acts understood the name. That's what made them make the impact that they did in their generation. And I pray it's something that we'll cry out for. I want to show you that it's not only it's in every chapter in the book of Acts. I won't go through all the chapters, but let's just turn over to Acts chapter 4, verse 7. The Pharisees had heard about what happened to the guy, and they came together. And verse 7, it says, and when they had placed him in the center, all the disciples, they began to inquire, by what power or in what name have you done this? The Pharisees were trying to identify the source of power that was released upon this man that has made such an impact upon the city. I mean, not only was the man healed, but everybody was amazed. Everybody was opened up to the claims of Christ. I'll tell you, if we get back to start using the name in power the way they did, we won't have any want of telling people about the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Because they'll see it not in words, but they'll see it in power. Like it says, Paul said, man, the kingdom of God is not in words. It's in power. It's in action. It's in doing something. We don't need to talk about it. We need to do it. We need to walk what we talk. Verse 10. The disciples respond, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene whom you crucified, God raised from the dead. By this name, this man stands here before you in good health. It was the name that did this. They proclaimed the name. They were excited about the name. They weren't ashamed of the name. They said the name did this. The name of Jesus. He left this with us. We had him, but now we've got his name. We've got the power of attorney. Everything that he did, we can do because we got his name. You need to understand it. Verse 12, they go on to say, and there is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven that has been given among men. Understand that the name was given among men by which we must be saved. Verse 17, but in order that it may not spread any further among the people, let us warn them not to speak or to teach any more in this name. Now, they were afraid of the name. They said, we've got to get them to stop talking about the name. Because every time they start talking about the name, man, it hurts us. It threatens us. So we're going to command them, and later on you'll find out that they even beat them, so that they wouldn't talk about this name anymore. All of Jerusalem, and we're going to see in a minute, was beginning to be filled not with the name of Caesar, not with the name of Pilate, not with Ananias, the high priest of the Sadducean, but with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was making a difference. It was threatening people. It was changing situations. It was coming in and invading and doing a work because it was spoken in faith, and it was spoken in skill, and it was spoken in boldness. And it did something. It released the favor of God that was upon their life, through their life, out into situations that need the favor of God. Amen. 29 and 30. And now this is when they came back. It says, "And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that thy bondservants may speak thy word with all confidence, while thou dost extend thy hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through what? Through the name of thy holy servant, Jesus." When do signs and wonders, where is it being delivered through or transmitted through? Through the name. Through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. These people went with the name. They bore the name. They confronted with the name. The name was their weapon. They understood that the name would do what God said it would do. And they spoke it with that kind of boldness and that kind of faith. And it did. It did change. How many of you have been changed by the name of Jesus? I mean, when I got saved, I was sitting there. I was going to take my life, drug addicts all around, and she didn't tell me anything except Jesus. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And it penetrated through my drunken stupor. It penetrated through my drug stupor. It penetrated through all the abuse and all the things that have been piled upon me all my life. It penetrated through the condemnation that I was feeling right after just taking somebody's life. And it changed me. And that was 17 years ago. Because a little 18-year-old girl had only been saved 3 months herself, came in with a big old Bible and decided to speak the name in a room of in a hostile environment. Nobody wanted her there. We were all wanting her out of there. And she spoke the name. I'm a result of it. Oh, church, it's my desire that I be like that. That I can walk into a hostile environment where nobody wants me there, where nobody wants to hear about this man and say the name of Jesus. And it do something. It penetrates. The Bible says the Word of God is able to penetrate. And what is the Word of God? Jesus. He said He was the Word become flesh. He's the living Word of God. It's able to penetrate. Acts 5 and verse 28. Here again they went out and they kept preaching about in the name. And so the Pharisees bring him back and he says, We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. And what was the teaching? The name, Jesus. You filled all Jerusalem. That's all it's going about. That's all you hear everywhere you turn around. Did you hear about Jesus? Did you hear about... I mean, it was filling everything, and it was making them mad. Amen. Oh, I want Orlando to be filled with the name of Jesus. And where does it start? It starts with us speaking it on the job. It talks with us speaking it where we go. It starts with us speaking it and not being ashamed of it. And saying it with boldness and confidence. Not to be rude. Not to be out of place, but there is a place for it that we need to speak it. I want Orlando filled with the name of name of Jesus, not Jerusalem. Acts 5 and verse 41, and this is the reason why most of us don't. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing after they had just been beat, that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for His name. Because speaking the name will cost you. You will suffer. But these people said, man, it's worth it. I rejoice that I'm kind of worthy to suffer for this name. You're going to make people mad. You're going to cause conflict when you speak the name. Some things are going to happen to you, against you, but some things are going to happen for society. Now, it may happen, rebound back on you. But let me know, God will take care of you. He will. But it'll cost you. You guarantee you'll get all excited and you'll go out and start speaking the name and immediately someone will misunderstand you. Somebody will start talking about you. They'll start saying you're a fanatic. All fanatic is someone that loves Jesus more than me. That's what I call a fanatic. But see, we need to say, oh, I rejoice. And let God take care of whatever damage it might do. And when we do that and don't give up, then all of a sudden we're better off before than we were after. I mean, after than we were before. God will never penalize you for speaking His name in faith and in power at the right time. He won't. You won't be penalized. You'll be blessed. Acts 8. And I'm almost finished. Acts 8. Verse 12. This is Philip. He went down to Samaria, turned it all upside down. Why? But when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. The name was an integral part of the preaching of the New Testament. An integral part of the preaching of the New Testament. Acts 9. This is the calling of Paul. Verse 15, it says, but the Lord said to him, Ananias, go, for Paul, he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. When you bear the name, you'll suffer for the name. There's no other way around it. But we've got to believe, and we've got to come to grips with the fact that it's worth whatever suffering that we might reap for bearing the name. I'm not promising you if you bear the name, you won't suffer for the name, because there's a promise that you will. You bear the name, you'll suffer for it, but it'll be worth it. The glory, because it says the glory doesn't come until you suffer. You suffer the glory, it brings glory. It said this momentary light affliction is not worth to be compared to the glory that was revealed in us through the Lord Jesus Christ. The suffering is momentary. The glory is everlasting. Let me tell you, I will suffer momentarily for several. How many of you would suffer momentarily for some everlasting glory? Come on, that's right. You'll do it, I'll do it, and we need to do it. Paul was called to bear the name of Jesus. When we as a church begin to understand what is in our mouth when we say, in Jesus' name. When we begin to understand what is in our mouth when we say, in Jesus' name, this city of Orlando will not be able to handle what God will do with our witness and our weapon. This city will not be able to handle what God will do with our witness and our weapon when we understand what happens when we speak the name in faith and in boldness. Until we become obsessed with the name of Jesus, we will not see the manifestation of God that God has promised to the church. Until we become obsessed with this name, we won't see God manifesting Himself with glory and wonders and signs that He has promised when He has said, these things I do, you can do. If you read over in John 17, what made Jesus so powerful? What released the favor of God? He says in chapter 17 of the Gospel of John in verse 6, He says, I have glorified thy name before the people. Jesus came bearing the name of God. If you'll see in the Old Testament, it was the name of God that did great exploits for God. What did David say when he came to Goliath? You come to me with a sword, but I come to you with the name. That's all I come with, is the name. Everything in the Old Testament, everything that God has in us is wrapped up in His name. Jehovah Rapha. I mean, there Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Emkadesh. All those things God is in His name. And we release what God is when we speak His name with faith and in power. Of a people that understand that. The power of God is represented in His name. We cast out demons with the name of the Lord Jesus. We heal the sick with the name of the Lord Jesus. We win people with the name of the Lord Jesus. Church, there's a way to get tall in God. There's a way to defeat the enemy. The name can and will call the devil's bluff and defeat him. Jesus, the name of Jesus can and will call the devil's bluff and defeat him. But we must have faith in the name of Jesus and then learn how to use it. Two scriptures and then we're through. Acts 19. Listen to this. This is very important. We must have faith in this name. And we must learn, and I want to put the emphasis on learn. It's a learned process. It isn't something that automatically happens, and I'll show it to you. Acts 19 and verse 13, it says, but also some of the Jewish exorcists. Paul was casting out demons. Some of the Jewish believers who wanted to do the same decided that they were going to try what Paul tried. And they said, but some also, the Jewish exorcists who went from place to place, attempted to name over those who had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And the seven sons of Sceva and a Jewish chief priest were doing this. And the evil spirit answered him and said, I recognize Jesus and I know about Paul, but who in the world are you? And this man in whom was an evil spirit leaped on them and subdued all of them and overpowered them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Let me tell you, church, you can't adjure the name of Jesus. You can't adjure the devil by the name of Jesus that Jim Newsom preaches. It's something you have to come to personally know. And how do you come to personally know it? Is number one, getting in the Word. And then number two, doing what the Word says. It's teaching and training. Let me tell you, the weapon is only as powerful as the knowledge and the skill of the person that has it. I may have some nunchucks, powerful weapon, but I'd probably hurt myself more than you if I tried to use them. Because I don't know how. I mean, I'd swing them around and probably conk myself in the head. But in the hand of somebody that has the knowledge and the skill, they're a powerful weapon. The weapon's there. We need to be taught about it, and then we need to be trained in it, in using the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And skill is developed. You develop it by going ahead and just start using it. John Wimber started using the name of Jesus to heal people. He started learning about it for a year. He taught on healing. Every Sunday for a year, he called everybody that was sick to come forward, and he was going to pray for him and believe that God was going to heal him in Jesus' name. The very first Sunday he did that, a lady came forward, he prayed for her. That afternoon, she died. Did he give up? Did he say the name doesn't work? Or did he realize there wasn't anything wrong with the name, there was something wrong with my knowledge and my skill of it? Every Sunday, he kept doing it, praying for people. Nobody for a whole year ever got healed. But he kept speaking the name every Sunday against demons, against sickness, against poverty. After a year, he prayed for somebody and immediately went to her husband to give him a reason why God doesn't always heal. And while he's talking to him, the lady says, I'm healed. And he goes, we got one. Now let me tell you something. John Wimber, he is an expert in the area of praying for the sick, delivering people from demons. I mean, this man travels nationwide, and when he uses the name of Jesus, something happens. People are healed. People are delivered. Situations change. But it didn't come without training. It didn't come without failure. It didn't come without going ahead and just using the name because God told us to use the name. Philippians 2, and we're through. Philippians, the second chapter, verse 9. Therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. Almost feel like chanting here a little bit. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Everything shall bow. Sickness will bow at the name of Jesus. Disease will bow at the name of Jesus. Demons tremble at the name of Jesus. Poverty is stricken in the name of Jesus. Situations change will bow at the name of Jesus. If we can become a people that have a knowledge of the name and are skilled, and you only get skilled by just going ahead and doing it, speaking it, using it. No matter if nothing happens, you get back up and say, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Diane doesn't notice, but I was praying over my little girl. I was trying this out last night. She was coughing. And I said, in the name of Jesus, stop. And she coughed some more. And I said, in the name of Jesus, stop. She coughed some more. And she says, I'm coughing so bad. And I said, in the name of Jesus, stop. After about 5 minutes, she stopped. Now, I don't want to get spooky here. Believe me, I don't. I don't want to say, I'm just trying to tell you that the name of Jesus in the hands of somebody that knows what to do with it is powerful. Amen. It's powerful. I'm not there, church. But I want to be there. I want to be there. And I want you there. And the only way we can get there going ahead and using it. How many of you want to rise up and begin to speak the name of Jesus? Let's stand. I just want to spend a little time. You won't have to get out of your pews. Judy, nope, we're not going to play this morning. I want to have just a little time of exercising what we've done. I want to us as a church to begin to first, there's four people I want to speak the name of Jesus for. Five. I want to speak it on behalf of Jolene Burridge. She has the flu. How many of you know that? There is no known cure for virus. Doctors tell us we just have to settle for it until it's finished. Do we have to, church? No, we don't. I mean, really, we don't. Medicine will tell you that you do. Jesus says you don't.